All right, would you welcome everybody watching on the internet right now? Good morning, God bless you. Good to see you guys, good to be connected with you over the internet. You know, interesting statistic, one of our number one cities watching us, but about 75 viewers watching us, Madison, Wisconsin. Isn't that great? It's pretty awesome what God's doing through the country. Yeah, internet's a great, great opportunity to reach people. So if you're watching from Madison right now, mwah, we love you, God bless you. Okay, and from other places as well. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air and get ready to repeat this after me. Ready? This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Luke chapter 4. Now, I actually prepared this sermon a little differently, this message, and the guys running in the media booth, I'm going to be all over the place when it comes to my notes. And so just pray in the Holy Spirit and God will lead you as I go, okay? I just felt it needed to be rearranged, and I want to just kind of go out of my heart in this message. It's all the same message, but in a different order than I had previously planned it. We're talking about POV, or point of view. Started that last week. And if you didn't hear last week's message, I need you to go hear that, because I know God is saying something to us, the corporate church, about a time and a season that we're stepping into. I believe God has a plan for every generation. How many of you believe that? You need to believe that, because God doesn't wake up and go, what do I want to do today? Like, God knows what he wants to do. God has an agenda, and the key is, will we see God's sight, God's mind, and we can always participate, but that's on our shoulders. That's on our decision. And so I encourage you that God has an agenda. God has a plan for this generation. I believe God is ramping things up, not shutting things down. That's point of view. You know, the idea of POV or point of view we actually got from the Food Network. How many of you watch the Food Network? Anybody? Oh, come on. Be honest. Be honest. You don't lie in church. You don't lie out of church either, but especially in church. There are some different shows and things. One of the ones we watch on the Food Network is Next Food Network Star. And one of the things they always try to encourage people to do is, what's your point of view? Because your point of view is going to determine how you present yourself, how you present the food. So, like, for one guy that was on it, he was a chuck wagon cook. And that was how he cooked everything. Like, you would be out in the West or out in a chuck wagon, and that you want to kind of do that kind of deal with it. And another person, their point of view was all kinds of sugary things and bacon and fatty foods. And can I get an amen? Yeah, hallelujah on that. Praise God. We're Gentiles, people. We eat bacon. Okay? All right. I'm having way more fun than you. And you can either join me, or me and Jesus are going to have a good time. But one or the other, I'm not going to come down to that level. All right? I'm going to have some fun today. But this guy's point of view was, hey, the world's moving into this health food. Health, everything's health, tofu, no taste, no calories. It really doesn't even exist. It's an imaginary thing that you're actually eating. And he's saying, sometimes you just need to spoil yourself and have some bacon. Now give me an amen. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. So that was his point of view. That's how he presents the food. And the same thing is true with Christianity or church. How you think, or how you view church and how you view your time on this planet and how you view what God's doing affects how we present ourselves. If we, the church, believe that God's shutting everything down, then we, the church, begin to shut down and just get ready for a rapture or a great escape. If we believe God's ramping things up, it affects how we live. It affects how we think. It affects how we present ourselves, saying, hey, time is short. We're going to make the most of the grand finale. Give me an amen on that. You see? There's a difference, and it matters your point of view. And people have all kinds of views when it comes to church. And last week we talked a little bit about God saying, hey, it's time to press for more. There is more, not less. You might say, but Pastor Kevin, I'm 100 years old. There's no time left for me. That's only your point of view. That's not God's point of view. You know, God doesn't view us in time, and he doesn't view us in how many years our earth suit has left. God views you as eternal, and he views you as being able, even if you don't get to finish what you start on this side, what you start, if it's of God, will keep going. Give me an amen on that. But it's all point of view. It's all perspective. And so I want to challenge you. What's your point of view? And today, if you have a point of view like I'm trying to present to you, what I believe the Bible talks to us about, that things are getting bigger and stronger and faster, and the move of God is actually getting better. You might say, what about all these churches that are closing? What about the statistics that people are leaving churches? I will say this, the real church of Jesus Christ is thriving. There's been a lot of people that have called themselves church. There's been a lot of religious stuff that needs to shut down. And there's been a lot of garbage that's gone on that's needed to be exposed so that the pure could be seen. Amen. And so that the pure could continue to grow. God's kingdom is on the advancement. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I believe Jesus. And I believe that the last days, now I want to challenge that thought as well. I didn't say this yesterday when I was teaching, but while we were in worship, one of these POV things that God was dealing with me with in worship is the whole idea of end times. End times. Now, some of you love end times. We wish I talked about the Antichrist every day. I'm going to talk more about Jesus Christ. Is that okay? But I do believe we're living in a definite season of time where things are wrapping up. We call it end times, but do you understand, according to Scripture, it's not the end. But when we think, oh, Jesus is coming, it's all coming to an end, and we start hunkering down and just getting ready for the end of the book. In reality, the chapter's just changing over. You understand? This is just one piece of a very long journey and a very long story that God continues to have vision even after the end of the world's story. Are you hearing this? There is more. You are ramping up. It's time to increase. It's time to enlarge our vision, whether we're the church corporately or you the individual, whatever's going on in your life. You know, one of the devil's greatest tricks, his greatest assignment against you is to shrink you down so that you live a smaller version of what God actually created. And so one of my roles is to help expand you, expand your thinking, expand your vision, and help you think big, because you're not like normal human beings on the planet. You are supernatural. You are connected to the God of the universe and His mind and His solutions. And it's a responsibility on us to see those things come to pass. And so this message is from the POV that there is more. Now we need to get ready for the more. Because you can agree with me, there's more. You can say amen. I can say there's more. Things are ramping up. And people say hallelujah, amen, mm-mm. They even give me the mm-mm, which means it was really good. Not just one mm, it's a mm-mm. Unless it's an extended mm, where it's mm. Then that's just as good as the mm-mm. You gotta just keep up with this. It's all right. It's all right. Just keep up with it. What are you doing to prepare for the more? We need to stop saying just amen and I'm excited and getting excited and start getting strategic, that if God is ramping things up and God is asking more of us, that we begin to make space for the more, we begin to expect the more, we begin to prepare, because more means more responsibility on us, because whatever God does in the future, He's going to do through the church, amen? Which means if God is expecting more and if God's going to do more, your capacity needs to change. Your capacity. Because if the church stays in the same capacity it's been, it can't do more. Does that make sense? Thank you very much. I'm on some cold medicine right now, so maybe that's part of this. Luke chapter 4. I want you to see something about a Spirit-filled people that you may or may not know. I love the Holy Spirit. Do you love the Holy Spirit of God? You know, the Holy Spirit of God is God. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit of God. God the Father is on His throne in heaven. Jesus is at His right hand. The Holy Spirit of God is the presence of God that you feel right now. It's the presence of God that goes with you into your workplace, into your homes, into your careers, into your valleys. You don't have to be afraid when people start talking about the Holy Spirit of God. But something I want to talk to us, Spirit-filled people, something I want to talk to us that we are anointed to do that sometimes we don't give a lot of credit to, we don't give a lot of thought to, is we are anointed of God to dream. We are anointed of God to have vision. Okay? We're not just anointed of God to heal sick people, although that's important. But in healing sick people, we don't just heal them to an end, we heal them and bring them into a hope and a future. Do you see what I'm saying? God doesn't just heal their body so they can just exist. He also heals them so He can give them a plan. He can give them a vision for their life. They can become part of the greater vision of God. We are anointed not just to heal the sick and not just to set the captive free. We are anointed to be dreamers of the dreams of God, to have the mind of God, and to see what God sees. You know, vision is the ability to see a preferred future. Vision is the ability to see a preferred future, to see beyond what is. Now, if we, the church, if our POV is just to see what is and to call darkness, darkness, and to call sin just, it's all falling apart and the world is full of sin, then we're not going to change it. You see what I'm saying? Because we have to have vision for the world to see beyond what is and how God has a solution to change what is. That's our responsibility. We are seers. We are seers of the vision of God, of the dreams of God. We do that in people's lives individually, where there's an alcoholic, a drug addict, a prostitute, someone who's lost. We are seers. We are visionaries. We have the ability to see God's preferred future in their life, which then causes us to reach out to them and say, God will set you free, and He gives you a hope and a future. And we begin to help them see what we see that God has always seen is able in their life. Can I get an amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are spiritually anointed to have visions and dreams. Now, sometimes we just think of visions and dreams as like just prophetic end time stuff. But God in visions and dreams, you can even check this out. I didn't say any of this last night, so my cold medicine's really working. God's visions and dreams, check this out with Peter. God was saying, I have a vision to reach Gentiles, to reach people that are not Jewish, to reach a whole portion of the world outside of the Jewish nation, and the Jewish Christians haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to give you a vision. I'm going to give you a dream. I'm going to help you see something bigger, and now I'm going to also give you steps and an opportunity to start walking towards that vision. It wasn't a dream of the end times that Peter had. It was a dream of God to see more than just the Jewish nation saved and blessed. Acts chapter 10, you can look at it. It's dreams of God given to us within opportunities to stretch and to walk them out. Luke chapter 4, yes, I'm finally there. Jesus said when he came out of the wilderness and he went to church that day, it says he took the book of the prophet Isaiah and he said, the Spirit of the Lord, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's anointed me to preach the good news. He's sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I just want to pull out two pieces there. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's an anointing. Can you understand that? The Spirit of God upon an individual is God's Spirit upon an individual. Man, that wasn't that hard. To do what that person wasn't just going to do in the flesh. So God's anointing, God's Spirit, God's power, presence was on Jesus to do something. And one of it was this, to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Now, there's a lot of people that Jesus healed their eyes, praise God. But he didn't particularly just heal blind people. He said, I've come to preach recovery of sight to the blind. And to bring that, I believe it was also people who'd lost vision for their life, or lost dreams, or lost God's vision for their life, for their future. And part of that's linked to the captivity. I've come to preach release to captives. When you've been in a place of captivity for a long period of time, it's easy to lose vision for your life. It's easy to lose vision for your future. And I believe this message and this season that God is talking to all of us about is one of, you're coming out of captivity, a place of bondage, a place of being inhibited, a place of being controlled by an outside force that isn't me. And I have released you, and I'm here to tell you, he's preaching release to captives. But in coming out of captivity, it's also important that you regain vision for your life. They go together. Because if you come out of captivity and you remain blind, you're going to live like you're still in captivity. It's one thing to be set free. It's another thing to see what a free person's able to do. And so God is saying, you need to see what I see about you. You need to see what I've set you free for. Now, God didn't just set the church free to sit in the church and say, we're free, free, free. He set us free to have vision to go be entrepreneurial and create and build and take over and push back that which was binding us and set other people free as well. You're anointed to help people get vision back. See, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to get vision back into the blind eyes, get vision back into people. You might have lost vision over your life because of disappointment. There's an anointing of God to get you vision back. Your captivity might have been that you lost all your money back in 2008. You lost your retirement. You lost a great deal of income. You've lost a bunch of investments. And that thing has been your captivity over the last 7 years. And now God is saying, hey, the easy part is getting you free because that's just a work of God. But now you need to get some vision. You need to receive the vision that God is bringing into your life as well. Some people lose vision because of a divorce. Some people lose vision because they prayed for somebody that didn't get healed and they died and they went on to heaven and we don't understand why. There may be a number of reasons why you've lost vision, but I'm here to tell you, God has an ability through His Spirit to give you vision again. And it's a move of the Spirit, which means it can happen just like that if you just say yes. It's not something that you just have to train and go to school and classes and courses and all this stuff. Today, if you just have a heart that says, give me vision again, God, He'll give you vision again. Say, Pastor Kevin, that's a great message if I was 20, but now I'm 400. And 400-year-olds don't have vision. We're just ready to die. That's something that we've been taught in human culture, but it's not kingdom culture. First of all, you don't know when you check out of this life into the next. So you at 400, you may actually have more time than the 20-year-old. The 20-year-old's not promised tomorrow. You may have more time than they do. So why are you passing all the vision off to them? You may be exactly the age, because I believe this, God is smart enough to know when you were supposed to be born. And God is smart enough to know what visions you're supposed to receive. And God is smart enough to know that you are capable of doing what He said you can do. I just had you hold your Bible up, and you said with your own mouth, I can do what He says I can do. Now, don't you lie in church. You can do it. And if God is saying there's vision and recovery of sight for the blind, doesn't matter your age, stop making excuses for vision and for increase. Sermons on vision and dreams are not supposed to be for just the young. It is a move of God when old people dream again. Old in God, not just old in age, because there are people that are old in age and young in spirit. But there are people that get old and crusty in spiritual age. And some of them, they're in their 30s and 40s. And you act like you're in spiritual retirement. You act like you're out of Del Webb of the Holy Ghost. I don't know why I said that. That's the cough medicine. Don't blame me. If you're a Del Webb fan, don't get mad at me. That's the spirit of NyQuil, okay? That's what that was. Acts chapter 2. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I want you to see something about the anointing of God and the Holy Spirit. We are anointed to dream. Acts chapter 2, Peter and the apostles, they got filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 and 2. And we see Peter stand up on this wonderful day that we call Pentecost, and he preaches a sermon, and he tells the world for the first time what's going on, that the Holy Spirit has come upon young and old, male, female, that were in that upper room. And he says, he quotes the prophet Joel from the Old Testament, and in verse 17 he says, it shall be in the last days, God says, I will pour forth of my Spirit. Now remember, the Holy Spirit is not another spirit from heaven, it's God's Spirit from heaven. I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Amen. Even my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they will prophesy. Now I want you to see that one of the things that we've overlooked, I believe, in the move of the Holy Spirit, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is this idea of vision and dreams. Visions, the ability to see a preferred future. Dreams, to be able to see the dream of God from the heart of God. Dreaming is not inactivity. Some people think, oh, that's right, the old people, they just sit around and dream all day. I love that Martin Luther King Jr. said, I have a dream, and it caused him to act. God doesn't give you dreams to stay asleep. God gives you dreams to act. And God is entrusting young and old with His dreams and His visions. Can we change the language? It's not just having dreams. Some of you have dreams all the time. You eat pizza and chocolate cake and you have a taco for dessert. I mean, man, and you're having all kinds of dreams. This is not just dreaming. This is God's dreams being placed into the hearts of people that are now empowered by the Spirit to do something about it. Are you connecting this? Because my POV is things are ramping up, I believe God is saying, I've got bigger visions and bigger dreams. Are you ready to receive them? It's one thing to say you're ready to receive them. It's another thing to prepare yourself to receive the increase. Because you're not just going to do the same thing you've always done. If you've only been half-hearted for Jesus, you're not ready for the bigger dreams of God. If you've only had a casual investment of the Word of God in your heart, of personal discipleship, getting in your own Bible, getting yourself grounded in the Word of God, see, your roots aren't deep enough to carry the bigger dreams. And I know that people want to carry big dreams and do big things, but they don't want to prepare themselves as a vessel to carry bigger calling and bigger anointing. God challenges me, Kevin, before I ever give you bigger stages, you need to be a bigger man. And that doesn't mean in my weight. It means in who I am on the inside. Because why would God give you greater influence, greater reach if you're empty and you don't have sufficient supply to give into that greater vision or greater dream? And so when we say, yes, God, use me. Yes, God, send me. Yes, God, give me your dreams. Give me your vision. Enlarge my territory. Increase my reach. Do something with me. Which, by the way, I'm saying, you don't have an option. You should pray that. Some people are like, well, fine. I won't pray that then, Pastor Kevin. That's not for you to decide, because God didn't save you just to die, to sit there until you die. God saved you not just to get you to heaven, but because he has need of you, and you need to press for that vision that God has for your life. You have a responsibility with the time you're given, and I know that these messages aren't always the easiest to receive, but you have a responsibility to the call of God on each and every one of our lives, but also a responsibility to expand who you are intentionally so that you can receive the greater visions. You have, basically what I'm saying is you have a responsibility to grow up. So you can be trusted with the more. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Kevin. I appreciate that huge, thunderous response there. I know you were excited about that. Thank you. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 54, which is actually where I was planning on starting, in which I changed the entire message. Isaiah chapter 54. Let me give you some background on Isaiah 54. This is when Israel was getting ready to be released from their captivity from a nation called Babylon. Now, Israel, back in this Old Testament period of time, had been enslaved and held captive in this massive empire, this Babylonian empire, for decades. And now that captivity was coming to an end. Now, remember, link that back to Luke chapter 4. I knew where I was going, even on NyQuil. I know how these things go together. Jesus came saying, I came to preach release to captives. Isaiah 54, God is speaking release to captives, and he's getting them ready to come out of their captivity. Are you following how they go together? And in Jesus' words, captives coming out of captivity need recovery of sight and have vision for going back. The same thing's happening in Isaiah 54. God's saying, you're coming out of captivity, and you need to have vision for greater things when you go back home. Don't just go back home with the same mentality. You need to have vision for greater. You need to prepare for greater. Are you following me? All right. Isaiah 54 starts like this. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joy, shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. And you say, Pastor Kevin, you've already lost me there. Barren, travailed, what are we talking about? Just follow. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Now, this was all speaking to Israel about her being a barren. She hadn't enlarged her territory as the people of God. She hadn't influenced the world like God had prophesied that she was going to have multiple children and encompass her influence would encompass the world. And so there was all this prophecy going back to Israel. And God begins to get her ready, Israel ready, in verse 2 for their release of captivity. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, spare not. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your pegs, For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations, and they will resettle desolate cities. And so here God begins to speak to Israel saying, hey, captives, you're getting ready to come out of captivity. But you now need to be ready for vision. You need to be ready for increase. You need to be ready for the enlarged responsibility. You will expand. And you will go to the right and to the left, and you're going to change nations. Now, I believe this is speaking to us, the church. Matter of fact, most theologians believe that that was a prophecy to Israel about the future. The Gentiles were going to come in, and they were going to increase to the right and to the left, having been used of God to bring the world unto God. That's pretty much where it connects. And if you look at Isaiah 52 and 53, it's talking about the coming of the Messiah and his suffering and his ability to forgive and redeem humanity. And then it culminates in Isaiah 54 here, where it basically says, after the Redeemer comes, that now Israel, you are going to be used to change the world. And so we're actually fruit of that prophecy coming to pass. But here's what happens. Israel didn't get ready for the increase that God was going to bring. Matter of fact, when the increase came, when Gentiles started coming to Jesus, hundreds of years later, by the way, when they started coming to Jesus, they didn't see that as their increase or as their blessing. They began to challenge the very move of God that they were sent to be a part of. Did I just lose you in that? And I wonder sometimes, because in being older in our faith and thinking we have everything figured out, when I talk to you about vision, when I talk to you about stretching and reaching, may we be flexible enough that the vision and the fruit that God brings into this next season, that we don't miss it because it's not what we were thinking increase was going to be. Some of you think when I speak of increase, it's going to be money in your pocket. Maybe. But when I speak of increase, God's true riches are human beings, are people. Now, God may use money and need to increase you financially in order to do some things, but God's vision on his heart has to do with reaching more people. And so when I say vision, stretch, reach, you still might be thinking, I'm coming out of captivity so that I can finally pay my house off. That is not a big enough vision for your life. Now, God may end up paying your house off in the process. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we are the people of God sent to change the world, not just pay off a house and die and go to heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I say press, and when God was saying enlarge your tent, strengthen your pegs, get that place bigger and ready, it's about people. It's about stretching yourself for the sake of people. It's about being motivated that God can use you to still reach more people. And that's why I say you might be 100, you might be 400, God can still use you to reach more people. You know, there was a story I shared last week, I'll share it again, about Ellen Blackwell that I saw at General Counsel, which blessed me at 101 years old. At 91, God called her to get on an airplane, fly to Israel, and pray and fast for 3 days. And she did that. Now, I know people that are 71 years old, and they think God is done with them, that they're ready to retire, they're ready to just be out to lunch, they're not thinking about how to grow the kingdom, they're just thinking about how to live out the rest of their days. I'm telling you, people, God isn't done with you. It's time for you to enlarge your vision over your life and prepare. At 91, she flies to Israel. God gives her ground, land in Israel. God gives her a strategy in Israel, how to believe and build. And today, 10 years later, she's built multiple dwelling places that are prayer retreat centers that hundreds of people from all over the world come, get vision from God, and go back and change their world. At 101 years old, she's glad she obeyed God at 91 years old. There was more for her to do. Her tent was still able to increase, even at 91. Amen. Now, this passage of Scripture says, enlarge the place of your tent, or basically get ready for growth. Enlarge the place of your tent. God is giving them the responsibility to do that. Do you hear that in there? We think that God, in wanting to give you greater vision or give you greater dreams, that somehow he's going to just enlarge you himself to get you ready for that. And yet in this passage of Scripture, I love that the burden is on us to get ready for the greater dreams and visions, to prepare ourselves So the question today, in that there's more, and God stretch us, God use us, is where am I supposed to begin to prepare, to build, to grow, to think, to stretch myself so that God can fill me with greater vision and dreams? That's something only you can answer. For some of you, so there's always how in this. So for some of you, it means going back to school. You say, Pastor Kevin, I'm 50 years old. If God has given you an assignment to do something and you need to be educated in it, then go to school and get ready for it. You know, we've recently had a wonderful education. I was talking to Graciela, you know, in our accounting office, and she was saying to me, I've been so educated in zoning laws and things here in our community because of the dorms we're building in Rockford. Now, I'm telling you, that education that we've now received and us going to zoning boards and us going to those court things, that isn't just about the dorms. I believe we're going to build multiple things in the future, and that's an education that we need so that we're now bigger and ready for God to trust us with more. He trained us on something small so we could be ready for more. Do you understand how this works together? Some of you need to go back to school. Some of you need to stretch yourself and get on some mission trips and get your feet in some foreign soil so you can begin to prepare your heart for greater vision and dreams. Some of you need to start reading some new books. Stop just reading little wishy-washy books that just make you feel good. Start reading some dreams with people with vision in it that make you dream. When you turn on that dreaming mechanism on the inside and you start expecting a dream, and then God starts giving dreams. Everyone wants me to tell him what God wants him to do. It's like, Pastor Kevin, great sermon. What do you think God wants me to do? I don't know. God wants you to dream. God wants you to ask him and trust him that he's going to give you a dream, but stop giving excuses to even asking God because you're too old, you're too much in debt, you're too this, you're not enough of that, and yet you're anointed to dream. You're anointed to have vision. I believe having a move of God of dreamers and visionaries, of people of mature age, think about it. When we've learned some stuff in our lives, I mean, it's great to give young people vision, but they don't know what to do with it. Most of the time, they get excited and their hormones are racing and they're just running around like a chicken with their head cut off full of vision. But we've learned some stuff as we've gotten older. We know some things work, some things don't work. So no wonder God would want to give vision for some mature people who failed enough to realize what not to do. I talked to a pastor one time in my office. I said, you know what your problem is? Yeah, I can get mean sometimes. You know what your problem is? You haven't failed enough. You've succeeded in everything, and until you fail some, you're a little overconfident in everything you put your hand to do. We learn sometimes by taking risks and not seeing it come through. We learn a lot. And so God wants to use the experience that older individuals have received over the years. Plus, you have some finances. Praise God. You have the capacity to do some things. If God put something in your heart about sending some missionaries, you actually have the ability to do that. If God talks to you about using your business that you own to start hiving off a non-for-profit portion of that business to build up some orphanages and some halfway houses for ladies coming off the street, you actually have the connections and the abilities to do that where a 20-year-old doesn't have those. Are you hearing this? God knows that you have some stuff that you've picked up and you've learned and some capacity as an adult, as a mature person, and it's not his will that you dry up and just now that you have experience and you have resource and you have wisdom that you just wait to die. You're anointed, man, to dream dreams. Thank you, all five of you. In making room, in stretching your tent and making room, notice what it says. It says, lengthen your cords, strengthen your pegs. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your pegs. I love that. As you're thinking about expanding, God's also saying, go deeper. The pegs, stick those pegs down deeper. That's what I said earlier. If God's going to trust you with greater influence, then you make sure you are more anchored in the Word than you've ever been, so that you don't become one of those stories of God building you up and putting you into a place of influence, and then you don't have the character to keep you there. See, God wants to expand. He was warning them. He was saying, hey, I want to expand you, but dig deep too. Don't just think wide, think deep. Don't just think wide, think deep. Amen. Everybody loves sermons on God's going to bless you, God's going to advance you, God's going to use you, but in all that, make sure your character can keep you there. Make sure your character, your humility, your trust in God, your faithfulness can keep you, because the size of the vision will tempt you. See, because God's not thinking small about you. You see, it's visions like taking a shepherd boy and making him king of Israel. That's why it's tempting to be proud, because what God's thinking about you is big enough to start to be impressed with yourself, because the world's going to be impressed, because God's going to show himself strong and good through your life. And so you have to focus on keeping that character very, very deep because of the size of the vision. God's not looking at doing a little thing through you. Amen. And so making room might mean, like I said a minute ago, one of two things I'm going to talk about. Making room, stretching yourself, might mean learning something new, or it might mean cleaning out something old. See, we as human beings, that's one thing to say, stretch yourself, grow, prepare. What does that mean to a human being? It means learn. Is that too practical? Did that go over your head? How did you prepare to become a business person? You learned. How did you prepare to become a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher? You learned. How do you stretch your tent? Is it having one person on this arm and one person on that arm and everyone pulling really, really tight? That's not stretching you. Your chiropractor will appreciate it because you're going to need them. Stretching yourself means learning something new. That's so practical, you're going to miss it if you're not careful. Stretching yourself, enlarging your tent, means learn something new. That's how human beings prepare and grow. That's how we stretch. Again, what books are we reading? What ministries, sermons are we hearing? What people are we surrounding ourselves around? What school do we need to go and increase and advance ourselves so that we're ready for the more? Expansion requires learning. It's just the way it is. That's how we as human beings expand. We expand by what we know and what we eat, but we're not talking about getting fat. We're talking about growing in our mind. And we make room in our tent for more by getting rid of old stuff. Old bitterness, it's time to let it go. You're coming out of captivity, why bring the captivity with you in your freedom? You're coming out of the past, why bring the past into your present? If there's people that hurt you in the past, leave it in the past. If you failed in the past, can you forget those things which lie behind and stretch forward to those things that lie ahead? You know, if you're bringing up your past all the time in your prayer life, I want you to understand something. It is not God bringing up your past in your prayer life. It is always you or it's the devil. God's talking about your future. Can you leave the past in the past? See, we got to clean out some old stuff to make room for some new stuff. And we have to learn some stuff to make room for some new stuff. That's all really good. We need to raise the risk in our life. Raise the risk in our life. As we get older in Christianity, now I know many of you don't think I'm very old, and that's I am getting some gray hair, so maybe some people will listen to me more. In the beginning, people used to say, I have socks older than you. What is that supposed to mean? Then go listen to your socks. What are you trying to tell me? Being mature in God has nothing to do. Jesus was only 30, okay, when he started his ministry. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But as we get older in the things of God, older could mean you're in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, your 80s, your 100s, whatever. One challenge with getting older is getting set in our ways. And when we talk about risk and we talk about vision and we talk about dreaming, we trip over raising the risk. Because as we get older, we think about being cautious. We don't like change. We don't like to risk. We want sure things. When how many things are really sure things in a journey of faith? Amen. But we get concerned about protection and keeping things safe rather than letting ourselves do some risky things, being flexible. Here's the deal. If we don't conquer our fear, we miss out on some pretty great experiences in life. So many things that your life has been filled with, you've had to press into fear to experience them. I mean, even some fun things like roller coasters. To go on a roller coaster for the first time, you've got to push through some fear. Even with our kids recently, we took them to Disney World on a half-day thing when we were at General Council, because we had to go to council in the beginning of the day. And I had to push them to get on a few things that they didn't want to get on. Now, some of them came off going, "Dad, that was amazing. That was awesome." Some of them came off saying, "Dad, I will never do that again." But they tried, and I was proud of them because they pushed through and raised the risk. There's some things in life that we have to raise the risk, some pretty fun stuff that you have to push through some fear to experience. Meeting new people is the only way you're going to make new friends, but you're going to have to raise the risk and push through some fears of meeting new people to make new friends. You understand how this works? Guys, we get so settled and so fearful and so wanting to protect and be cautious, calculated. There's things like we would never ask someone out on a date, and we would have missed the joy of being married and having children. And I mean, there's all kinds of things that we've had to push through to have some pretty great experiences. Trying new foods, sushi. You got to push through there, man. Push through the fear of raw fish. I used to say sushi was an acquired taste, which means your body naturally rejects it, but you keep shoving it down until finally it receives it. That's what acquired taste means. But you got to push through to enjoy it. You have to raise the risk. Now, you might say, "Oh, Pastor Kevin, you're talking about crazy risk." Listen, most of our regrets in life come from missed opportunities, not from taking risks. Most of the things at the end of our lives, we're saying, "Man, I wish I would have bought in on that deal. Man, I wish I would have got involved back in the day when I had the opportunity. Man, I wish I would have went on that trip with everybody else." Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are called to be visionaries, and sometimes we have to remember we're anointed even as old men and women in God to dream and to do things we don't know the outcome. We don't know how it's going to turn out. But if we don't dream, if we don't stretch, if we don't press, the world is lost because we carry those dreams for them that God has. But we have to be willing to push through our fear. There's a difference between being careful and being fearful. In Andy Stanley's book, Next Generation Leader, he divides it like this: careful and fearful. Nothing wrong with being careful, but you have to push past fearful. Careful is cerebral. Fear is emotional. Careful is fueled by information. Fearful is fueled by the imagination. What about this? What about that? Is that real information you're battling, or is it the unknown that you're battling? Careful is calculated risk. Fearful avoids risk. You don't try anything new. You don't push yourself. You're just going to eat the same oatmeal every day, sit in the same chair, go to the same place, do the same thing. You don't want change. And yet God has more for you to do, my friend. Careful wants to achieve success. Fearful wants to avoid failure. Careful is concerned about progress. Fearful is concerned about protection. Isn't that powerful? God has dreams for you. There's vision that God can give you. And I even had a warning I wanted to give us as I close. A warning and a story. Because I really sense that sometimes we undercut the mature believers in the faith that are upper in years. And they really do think sermons like this is all about the young people. And that's why today I really am talking to those of you who've been around a while. It's time for you to raise some risk in your life and have some vision and dreams and start some stuff. But you might say, "Pastor Kevin, what if I'm too old to see it through? What if I'm too far gone? What if my physical body, what if I'm on the internet right now and I'm in a hospital bed and I only have a few months to live? What if I don't see the end of the vision or the dream?" Some of the greatest people in scriptures started the dream and didn't see it totally come to pass. But the dream was good enough and big enough, it was worthy of the next generation to carry it on. You want to know the answer to that? Just dream a big enough dream that when you die, someone else wants to carry it on. Yeah, you can celebrate that. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, and talking about Abraham and Sarah, God had promised them a nation. God had promised them a people. All these people died, the Bible says, still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it only from a distance, and they did welcome it. Abraham and Sarah never saw their nation that God was telling them about, but that nation still happened. Amen. Get it started, my friend. You may only have 6 months. Make them the best 6 months you've ever had. I still believe in healing. I believe God can heal you. But even if it doesn't happen on this side of eternity, don't let this sickness be a deterrent from starting a dream that's going to outlive your legacy. It's going to be probably the legacy that you leave behind. Are you hearing me? Have a vision. See it. You may not see it with your eyes, but man, see it in your spirit and get it started. I'll close with a story. In Miles Monroe's book, Principles and Power of Vision, he records a story about Walt Disney. I've always been a Walt Disney fan. I like Walt Disney. And this was just a story about Walt. It says, Walt Disney World had just opened and only had one ride. Man, can you imagine that? And only had one ride. One day, Walt Disney was sitting on a bench on the grounds, seeming to just stare into space. One of his workers, who was manicuring the grass, came past him and said, "How are you, sir?" Without looking at the man, he said, "Fine." And he kept on staring. So the man said, "Mr. Disney, what are you doing?" Disney said, "I'm looking at my mountain," he answered. "I see the mountain right there." Walt would tell his architects about this mountain. As he talked, they wrote down what he said, and they drew up plans. Walt died before Space Mountain was built, and so he never saw it. When Space Mountain was dedicated, the governor and the mayor were present. Walt's widow was also there. One of the young men stood up to introduce her and said, "It's a pity that Mr. Walt Disney is not here to see this mountain, but we are glad his wife is here." Mrs. Disney walked up to the podium, looked at the crowd, and said, in effect, "I must correct this young man. Walt already saw the mountain. It is you who are just now seeing it." Amen. Amen. Go ahead and stand. Let's close in a word of prayer. You can see your mountain and start towards it, even if we don't see it happen in your lifetime. But start anyway. Dream a dream big enough, worthy of carrying on. God has big enough dreams to give you for that. Let me pray over you. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray over Life Church and those watching on the internet right now. I believe we are anointed of God to be dreamers and visionaries, to carry the dreams and visions of God of this generation. Lord, every excuse we lay down at your feet, every reason why we can't expand or we can't prepare or we can't do, we stop making excuses and we start asking the God of the greatest imagination and greatest creativity, God, what would you have us do? Lord, if you tell us to go back to school, how do we do it? We've got kids, we've got this, we've got that. If you tell us to do it, we're going to do it. You're going to make a way. If you tell us to connect to something, if you tell us to start something, if you tell us to learn something, we'll do it. And we'll stop putting it off for tomorrow what we need to be doing today. We repent of apathy. We repent of delay, delayed obedience. And Father, we say yes, that the houses of God would be filled with vision again. The houses of God would be filled of receiving the dreams of God in every generation and seeing them actually come to pass. We are not a church that just sits around and talks. We're a church that's both mighty in words and in deeds. I bless Life Church as they move forward with their call on their life in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Before I dismiss you, I want to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. All who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So today, if you're not right with God, God has a plan for you. God has a vision for your life. God needs you to call on him. That's your responsibility, to call on the name of the Lord, and he will save you. So today, if you'll just bow your heads, close your eyes for the next 30 seconds, I'm not going to call you to the front in front of everybody, but right there at your seat, if you know you're not right with God and you need to call on him today, would you be brave enough to simply raise your hand right where you are, and I'm going to say a simple prayer for you. If that's you today, you say, "Pastor Kevin, I am not right with God. Would you pray for me?" Would you put your hand up right now? There's a hand in the back. Anybody else? I am not right with God. Pop your hand up wherever you are and get right. Call on the name of the Lord today and be saved. Anybody else? All right, church, let's all pray together so that person's not praying by themselves. Maybe you're on the internet right now needing to pray this prayer. Let's pray together, would you please? Dear God, thank you for seeing me. just as I am. I know I've sinned and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate the one? Amen. Or more. Get my prayer teams to come to the front. Our prayer teams are going to be here as I dismiss, and they're here to pray for you. You might need a healing. You might need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You might need freedom from a bondage or something, come out of a captivity. You might need God to speak to you about a certain situation. These are wonderful, trustworthy prayer workers. They'd be willing and they're capable of ministering to you. If you prayed that prayer today to give your heart to Jesus on your way out, right behind the video cameras, there's a New Beginnings area that has Bibles for you. We have volunteers there that would love to talk to you and support you any way we can. Let me bless you and dismiss you, okay? Heavenly Father, I bless Life Church as they go. And I thank you. I know signs follow your word. And God, I believe that you're going to begin to talk and to speak and to give vision and direction for their expansion and for their future. God, if we've been scared and nervous to change or to risk and we've been playing it safe, God, we just thank you. Give us gifts of faith again to push against that. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you as you go.